Welcome to Behavioral Health Today, a podcast by Triad Behavioral Health, where we cover trending topics in behavioral and mental health. This podcast is designed to share unique and relevant topics occurring within the world, our communities, and bring them a mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavioral Health Today. I'm your host, Peter Fanger, and I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Graham Taylor. Dr. Taylor is the Chief Learning Officer at Triad Behavioral Health and also a clinical psychologist with experience in hospitals, private practice, and teaching test prep for the past 25 years. To give our listeners a little background, I've usually been behind the glass as the producer of our podcast, but today I have the pleasure of stepping into the host seat. This is relevant because May is Mental Health Month, and today I get to talk to you as a person who's relatively new to the mental health topics covered on our show. Welcome, Graham.
Peter, it's nice to be with you. Thanks for having me on this side. I enjoy our time together. I'm looking forward to our podcast today.
So I want to start with just kind of framing this topic and want to ask you, what is Mental Health Month?
Yeah, you know, I'm really happy that we get to do this podcast in May. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. This was a month that was really created by presidential proclamation back in 1949. May was designated Mental Health Awareness Month, also known as Mental Health Month. And, you know, we know that roughly one in five U.S. adults is going to experience some mental illness at some point in their lives. So the purpose of this month and the purpose of kind of raising awareness is to educate the public about mental health and also about mental illness. You know, we want to talk about the healthy aspects of mental health and also what does mental illness mean and raise as much awareness as we can around this aspect of who we are as individuals. As a matter of fact, just as an example of increasing some awareness, Peter, by the time you and I are done with this podcast, 37 people will have committed suicide. That's one every 40 seconds worldwide, or 800,000 annually worldwide. Wow. That's by the World Health Organization. And in fact, suicides become the number one cause of death for individuals ages 15 to 29. That's our future right there. So what we get to do in Mental Health Month is to raise awareness about what's going on in terms of mental health, strategies for attaining mental health and wellness. We also get to do something I believe is very, very important. You know, a lot of times mental health is only understood within the context of maybe a TV show or something that's really, really crazy, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or if you're old enough to remember Bob Newhart, those kinds of things. But what we really get to do is we want to really strive to reduce any stigma or any negative attitudes that we might have about mental health or mental illness, any misconceptions that really might keep people in the dark or keep things secret. And we want to really begin to fight this stigma. We want to provide support to folks going through this. We want to educate the public and advocate for any policies in our government that could support people with mental illnesses and their families. And we also want to advocate for the mental health through healthy activities and healthy relationships to be on the primary prevention side of this as well.
Right, right. The perception of mental health has really changed in the last 10 years of my life, certainly.
That's the good news. Yes, I agree. That is really the exciting and the good news. And therein lies hope.
Right, right. Talking a little bit more about the real focus of Mental Health Month, what are some of the causes of mental illness?
Well, there's a number of things that can go into that. In just short, there are about 200 recognized and classified forms of mental illness that we've developed in our diagnostic opportunities to understand this. And these can develop at any age. And they can be due to genetics. They can be due to biochemical imbalances. There can be environmental factors such as excessive stress, relationship conflict, oftentimes a combination of all of those things. So when we're talking about mental illness, we're looking at things like heredity. Are there some genetic explanations? A lot of times, mental illnesses run in families, and that can be passed on genetically to people. Mm-hmm. Or there can be an aspect of biology. Some mental illnesses have a link to an abnormal chemical imbalance in the brain. Or there can be psychological trauma. And trauma, we think, you know, sometimes 9/11 or someone being assaulted, those are for sure traumatic. Right. But psychological trauma can be triggered by a number of things. It can be triggered by divorce. It can be triggered by an empty nest. It can be triggered by the aging process. It can be triggered by retirement, marital stressors, parent-child interactions. So there can be psychological reasons for it as well that also trigger some of these things. Right now, we know that we're in the COVID-19 pandemic.
Right.
And this has brought a lot of changes to how we're living our lives, the uncertainty that comes with it. Our daily routines, you know, have been altered. There's financial pressures, social isolation with a personal spacing that's been mandated. Some people are really worried about whether or not they're going to get sick or how long the pandemic's going to last and what the future really may bring. So these stressors over time for some can really lead to their mental health being significantly affected.
Right, right. You know, the perception of mental health has really changed in the last year. I can even see within this COVID, the coronavirus situation, that the awareness of mental health still has ways to go. There yeah. seems to be a topic that doesn't really seem to be as discussed with this whole scenario. And that really is, you know, the mental health impact.
I was going to just jump on that because that's a very good insight. I just saw a briefing with the president the other day. I can't remember her position, forgive me, but I know she was a mental health provider. She had a doctorate in mental health. I think she was a psychiatrist. And also she had her doctorate in epidemiology. And what she was conveying now to the president is as we begin to flatten the curve over time, and hopefully we don't have a spike, but if we do, I know our medical professionals and colleagues are going to be managing that. They've done a very nice job so far. But she was saying that there are going to be significant residual effects of this on our mental health and to pay attention to some of these things as they're coming up. So I believe that our medical professionals have done a very, very nice job of keeping the numbers low. But the mental health sequelae from this, it's going to be significant.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how has awareness of mental health changed in the last 10 years?
Well, I think, you know, things like what we're doing today, podcasts, you know, outreach services. So podcasts basically get to put some information out there about what mental health really is and what it looks like, not just mental illness, but what mental health really is. And if we can have that as a primary prevention focus, what makes us healthy? And we do that all the time. We're made up of three components. We're spiritual, physical health, and also our mental health, relationships, emotions, our psychology. And there are laws that govern the healthy functioning of each of these three. And when any one of these is out of whack, not only is that area affected, but all the other areas too are going to be affected by this. So what we get to do is we get to raise awareness through podcasts like this. There are public education committees for all the branches of mental health, psychology, marriage and family, psychiatry, social work, mental health counseling. And these public education committees are doing a really great job getting the word out there. They're putting out some programs that address some of the societal issues that are happening. For example, I was part of the public education committee here for the Hawaii Psychological Association back in the mid-90s. And that's when we had the Columbine shooting, if folks remember that. So we came up with a program called Warning Signs, and how to address aggressive behavior early on so we can take preventative action towards that. Or there's a resilience program that came out that has to do with how to maintain a strong mental fortitude during very challenging times. So resilience was a really big focus. So what's changing over the years is basically coming into the public arena with not just an awareness, but there are strategies and skill sets that we can develop to keep us healthy as a society and as families, individuals. So that's where some of the changes have been taking place.
Maybe you can tell me a little bit more and expand a little bit more about this definition of mental health.
Yeah, that's really good. So if we're going to be talking about mental illness or some challenge, what is the side we want to be kind of living in? And that is mental health. So when we talk about mental health, it's a good question. You know, we're looking at ways that our mental health impacts our thoughts, our emotions, our moods, our ability to relate to others, our efficacy when we're at work or when we're going to school, and our behavioral choices. Our mental health affects all those areas. And a stable personality is indicated by one's healthy thought processes, their healthy emotions, their behaviors, and the sense that they got a strong sense of who they are and their place in the world. So that's really kind of how we look at mental health. And we know that everybody experiences some rough patches in their life, and they may experience what we know when we go through rough patches, similar symptomatology or similar patterns of responding. But the test of whether these signs indicate true mental illness is whether they originate from within the person and whether they exhibit these signs on a continuous basis. So what's so important about raising awareness around mental health, like the show we're doing today and the questions that you're asking, being aware of our mental health is such an important thing because it affects every single other facet of our daily living and functioning. And without this awareness, it's difficult to pinpoint why we're so stressed out about something or having problems, you know, in our daily lives. So if we can raise this awareness about what's going on in our thoughts, our narratives, our feelings, our behaviors, our general interactions with the world and with ourselves, we can recognize these things early on, and we can really do something to reverse some of the courses that these can take when we have that awareness around it.
Yeah, one of the things that I think this show does so well is that you really go to a fine detail of trying to name some of these things. You know, you're talking about awareness and trying to define these different topics of mental health.
One of the things we get to raise with people and through that awareness, for example, we all go through, you know, gradual changes in our personality, you know, throughout our lifetime. And that can be a natural experience as we undergo new life-altering experiences, whether it's something like an empty nest or coming into retirement. For the healthy individual, they're going to have a strong sense of self that remains throughout that whole process. But potential issues arise when an individual is unable to cope with or, let's say, adjust to in some healthy ways to these changes that are taking place, and they begin to lose or struggle with a sense of themselves. And when these kind of drastic changes begin to happen in this individual, that's when maybe we want to take a look at some professional intervention that could be a benefit and help to them.
What are some of the newer industries in mental health?
And
what do you think will make an impact in the next 5 years? You know, we even talked about some topics on the show about psychopharmacology. Maybe you can expand a little bit on some of these new areas.
Right. That's really good. We're understanding so much more about the brain right now. We're doing some phenomenal research right now with different scans that we can use, MRIs, PET scans, CAT scans, all kinds of opportunities to understand the brain better, as well as the chemical, you know, balances of things and how that affects our well-being. In fact, you talk about psychopharmacology. We had on Dr. Jerry Rodriguez, a good friend and a tremendous colleague in this field, and he was talking about how medications can be so beneficial. We also have telehealth coming into play. We see that so vividly right now with the coronavirus being in place. A good number of doctors, pretty much almost all mental health providers right now, at least for the last couple of months, have been doing sessions online, seeing folks on some online platform, whether it be Zoom or FaceTime or some portal through the insurances that they work with. But it allows people to access mental health in a very manageable way during this time when they can't come in person. So that's really blossomed. And there are a number of companies that are doing that as a primary way of providing services to folks in the community who might be underserved normally. With technology happening, there's also a explosion of various apps that are out there to increase awareness of and to provide monitoring for one's mental well-being. We have apps for self-management and mood awareness. Let's say someone's dealing with some anger management issues, or they want to improve their thinking or problem-solving skills. There's skills training apps. There's apps for anxiety management, apps to recognize, you know, if there's some behavioral patterns that might signal a mood episode developing, whether it's a mania kind of building or maybe someone's in a depression and how to manage that. And we know that there's sleeps for apps and also some apps for PTSD. So the newer industries right now are really making mental health and mental health awareness much more accessible to folks right in the palm of your hand. So the more awareness you have, the greater opportunity you have to identify and intervene with something very, very early on to maintain kind of that primary prevention way of looking at things.
Yeah, I mean, even having access to the internet and being
yes.
able to access the directories of therapists in my area.
That's right. That's right.
So let me kind of expand on that. What kind of resources are available that people might not be aware of? And if I wanted to look for therapy today, where might I start?
Yeah, that's good. You know, one of the things you can do to raise your awareness about what's available to you out there is you can start with just some of the sites that I'll give you right now. People want to write these down. You can go to the American Psychological Association, APA.org, and they have just a plethora of articles and services that help you just understand what's going on. They break it down by different ages. They break it down by different symptom patterns. And there's just a wealth of information just to begin to expand one's awareness. And as you begin to understand some of these things, after you might identify some things in there that, you know, kind of speak to you. It's almost like doing one of those, you know, self-help little questionnaires. And so finding out about who we are and how we are, it intrigues every single one of us. You can also go to a site called Mental Health America. That's a great site. Also the National Association for Mental Health, and also NAMI, which stands for the National Alliance for Mental Illness. These are all really helpful sites that I think people can go to as a start to find out what areas they might want to focus on, what might be speaking to them right now in their own life, and maybe just raise some curiosity. Most folks coming into therapy are dealing with some kind of struggle in their life, and they're looking for a different perspective and a way through it that they can't seem to find themselves. So being able to start with these sites and see what's there is a great starting place. And how do you find a good mental health practitioner? You can do it a number of ways. You can contact your family doctor and say, hey, who do you recommend in the field? If you belong to some organizations, they might have good referral sources. Sometimes, synagogues or churches or temples, they have people that they've worked with in the past that are good referrals as well. Maybe a friend that you know has gone through some mental health work and they've had a great relationship and some good results. You might want to contact that person. You can also even contact your state mental health organization. In Hawaii, it's the Hawaii Psychological Association. And usually on their site, you'll see find a professional. And you'll get a list of people. You'll find out what their specialties are, their training. So you can make an informed decision by the information provided on that site.
Right. Yeah, those are a lot of really great options.
Yeah.
One of the things that I kind of think about, and this applies to myself, is that, I worry about the cost of therapy and what that might mean to my finances. Okay. How might I address improvements to my mental health that, I might be financially conscious? Are there any exercises that I can do that might promote good mental health?
And even
just going to the length of pointing me in a direction of a reliable source, because I know that I can get a lot of information from YouTube and from the internet, but some might not be reliable sources.
Sure. The sources I gave you earlier are good ones. Also, Psychology Today has a list of providers in your area that you can do a search for some of the treatments that might be helpful to you. Also, too, there are organizations in each state that do pro bono or therapy for no cost services. So if someone doesn't have insurance or they're concerned about some of the costs, they can research these typically through their psychological association in that state. For example, a colleague and I are putting together the Hawaii Mental Health Center, which offers pro bono services, no cost services, to those in our community here that don't have insurance but have mental health needs that we want to help address. And what we've done is we've talked to all of our colleagues here in Hawaii and say, hey, we need 1 hour a week committed to somebody in our community that needs mental health services but can't afford them. And we've had a phenomenal response to this. So we're really excited about this. So in addition to the things I've mentioned so far, I'd recommend people go to the Mental Health America website, mentalhealthamerica.com website. And they've got some cool stuff on this site just to begin to raise awareness. Things like printable handouts that cover things like this: owning your feelings, finding the positive, eliminating toxic influences, creating healthy routines, supporting others, and connecting with others. These are all printable handouts. So you can start kind of beginning to raise a curiosity about yourself around, be able to raise some awareness around about yourself. They even have worksheets that have titles such as the following: what's underneath? How to identify feelings so you can deal with them more effectively. Looking for the good. These are four steps to finding the positive in bad situations. They're talking about resiliency there. They talk also about a worksheet that addresses detoxing your life, planning routines, and learning how to start a conversation with someone about their mental health. So these are all very accessible, free, downloadable, printable worksheets and handouts that you can work with to start this whole process. So there's some really good stuff out there that you can do if, finances are a concern, or you just want a starting place to begin.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So one of the things I love so much about this podcast are the messages that we do at the end of the show. I really feel like it applies to my own life, and I'm sure a number of other listeners. So what messages would you like to tell our listeners who might be struggling with the idea of therapy?
You know what? I would love to help debunk some of the negative myths. I'd love to help remove some of the stereotypes and stigmas. The therapeutic relationship with a well-trained and skilled therapist is a unique relationship. There's nothing like it. It's safe, it's private, it's confidential, it's non-judgmental, and it's focused solely on your well-being and your growth. So we all go through difficult times. And some people think, well, I got to have a real mental illness. I got to be in, a panic attack or significant anxiety, or I have to have a major depressive episode or something maybe more severe, like a thought disorder, in order to enter therapy. Not at all. I see a number of people that are dealing with some significant mental health issues. I see some people that are also coming in, though, to say, hey, Graham, I'm doing pretty well, but I really want to reach my potential. And I want to understand myself in such a way that I can reach my potential. In other words, kind of making my good better and my better best. So if we can see that therapy is really a tremendous coaching opportunity for someone to help us understand ourselves and to work through some difficult times that we might be going through, you know, we get to recognize that we all do go through some difficult times, and finding a way through these things can be challenging at times. So I really encourage folks to talk to someone who is trained. A friend is good and family is good, but at some point they kind of reach their ceiling and what to do, and they're going to give you their advice, and that's based on what they know in their lives. But my encouragement is that if you're going through a hard time, talk to somebody who's trained in this area, because there is hope and there are ways that we can work through difficult times, but we may not see the way through them when we're in it. You know, the old forest for the trees kind of thing.
Right.
So talking with someone, you can get some help, get a different perspective. You can identify maybe some of the distorted ways that you've been thinking about something, or maybe some old and unhelpful coping strategies that might still be in use, but they're not beneficial anymore. It might even be contributing to the very problems you're trying to work yourself through. And what I do know is life, with this level of understanding and awareness, and living in this kind of knowing of self, we don't have to be afraid about examining these aspects of ourselves. So life can be very rich and very rewarding from this self-understanding. So my encouragement to folks, consider examining your life. Get into some therapy, whether or not you're dealing with anything that's a major struggle right now, or if it is, get into some therapy to help with that struggle. But even if it's just self-growth and self-awareness, look to increase your awareness of why you do what you do. What are some of your thought and behavioral patterns? What are some ways that you find yourself dealing repetitively in your relationship? Why do they tend to go that way? There's reasons for it. You might also be taking a look at what's my personal narrative? Because most of these things we're talking about right now, or I'm naming, most of them are unconscious. So if you get into some therapy, you get to make the unconscious conscious, and you get to find ways to take control over these areas and find life truly improving and really reaching its potential that we all have to reach and experience.
Yeah, I really like that. To make their good great, you know, I think that that's a fantastic point. Graham, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's been great to be with you, Peter, as always. Thank you for the time.
Folks, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back again soon on Behavioral Health Today.
Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Triad Behavioral Health Network, all rights reserved.